that there is God and Krishna. We won't know what to make of these fantastic stories. But because it is a special day, Janmashtami, and it's almost 11, and some of you have been here since 4:30 in the morning, I'm taking you to be advanced students who are prepared to hear a little about Krishna from the 10th canto. And if you're really not advanced students, then I humbly request you to immediately buy a complete set of Srimad Bhagavatam. And begin seriously reading from the first verse of the first chapter of the first canto until you catch up. So, now, I'll read a verse from the 10th canto which gives an idea of why Krishna appears. And different explanations as to why come in different places in scripture. I imagine you might have heard Parikaranaya Sadhunamdina Shaya Sadhuskitam Dhamma Samsakadataya Sambhavani Yuge Yuge, that to protect the devotees, the sadhus, and to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion, dharma, Krishna appears in every age. So here in the 10th canto, there's a verse that explains a little bit more about why he appears. And this is Canto 10, chapter 33, text 36. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please repeat. Anugrahaya.
Anugrahaya.
To show mercy.
To show mercy.
Bhaktanam.
Bhaktanam.
To his devotees.
To his devotees.
Manusham.
Manusham.
Human life.
Human life.
Deham.
Deham.
A body.
A body.
Ashita,
Ashita,
Asumi,
Asumi,
Bhajate,
Bhajate,
he accepts,
he accepts,
Tadrishi,
Tadrishi, Yudhara
pastime.
About which
Shudva
hearing
Tatpara
dedicated to him.
Bhavet
one becomes.
Translation.
When the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in such pastimes as will attract those who hear about them to become dedicated to him.
Please repeat.
When the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in such pastimes as will attract those who hear about them to become dedicated to
him.
Report. Srila Jiva Goswami explains in this connection that when Lord Krishna descends to this world in his original two-handed form, out of kindness, he manifests that form in a way his devotees conditioned in human society can perceive and understand. Thus here it is stated, Manusham Deham Ashtita. He assumes a human-like body. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur glorifies the Lord's conjugal pastimes, stating that these romantic affairs have an inconceivable spiritual potency to attract the deluded hearts of conditioned souls. It is an undeniable fact that any pure or simple-hearted person who hears narrations of the loving affairs of Krishna will be attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord and gradually become his devotee. So, we are persons. Actually, this is a very important point. We are persons eternally. There are people who embark on the spiritual path with the idea that in the end, they will merge and become one with God, or enter into some sort of void and lose their individual identity. This is a reaction because material life means suffering. When Vaisheshika Prabhu mentioned that when you go to the spiritual world, there will be no IRS, no taxes, no traffic jams on the 101. He was indirectly indicating that the material world is full of miseries. And people who have no idea of spiritual individuality think that the way to escape from the miseries is to give up their individual existence. In what Srila Prabhupada calls is a type of spiritual suicide. Now, if an ordinary person is sick and suffering, and you'd say, don't worry, I have a way to relieve you from your suffering. I will heal you. Will he agree?
No.
And I don't want to be killed. I want to be cured. But when it comes to the spiritual field, somehow people have that idea that they want to die spiritually. They want to commit spiritual suicide and merge and disappear as individuals. Because they don't know that this miserable life comes not from individuality, but it comes from Maya, from the illusion that I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm the provider. When you're in that mood, then material life is miserable. And individuality is miserable. But when you're cured of that misconception and realize that you're not the body, you're not the mind, and you're not the enjoyer, controller, or provider, but you're the eternal servant of Krishna, then you become free and you're liberated from that misconception. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that if you're a bank teller, there's no problem. You can handle millions of dollars, and there's no problem, as long as you handle it on behalf of the bank, on behalf of the customers. But if you take even $10 and put it in your pocket, you're in big trouble. So the problem is not dealing with so-called material things, because actually nothing by nature is material or spiritual. If you use it for Krishna, it's spiritual. And if you try to use it for sense gratification, personal or extended, yourself, your family, your community, then there's trouble, there's reaction. The reaction is that you suffer.
And then you say, oh, I'm going to give up being an individual. I'm going to hurt you. Because I'm not happy.
So we are individuals. Eternally. Even if you merge, the Bhagavatam says, vimokti mahina, even people who think that they're liberated, if they neglect the service of the lotus feet of Krishna, the tanti adhan, they fall down again. So even if you can achieve some sort of impersonal liberation, which is very hard to attain and is questionable, whether you can attain it, but even if you do, or you think you do, if you don't engage in service to the lotus feet of Krishna, you fall down again. So, who is this Krishna? Okay, we're different. Who is this Krishna? Is it just a concept? Whereas some people think that the impersonal one comes in a form as Krishna or Rama or Shiva or Ganesh or Durga, you could just worship any form and then man emerge and become one. So that's why we have to know who Krishna is. And then begin really with the Bhagavad Gita and then the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But once we understand that we're eternal individuals and Krishna is the supreme eternal individual, then we can begin to learn more about him. Just like get a hand on the spiritual world. Just like if you're going to well, let's put it the other way. There are many travel agencies and airlines who publish photos and stories about different places so that you desire to go there. Every in-flight magazine will feature articles, you know, London or Sydney or the rainforests of the Amazon or and then you see the pictures and you read about it and you get attracted. I want to go there. And then you buy a ticket. So they get their money and you get your holiday. And usually the experience on the ground is not what you imagine from the story. So then it's the same principle. Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives us a picture of the spiritual world. What is the spiritual world? And then you read about Krishna, like we, you know, he comes home from tending the cows, and you become attracted. And you think, oh, I want to go there. I want to experience that life. And that's not like a trip to Belize or somewhere where you go for a week or two and then you have to come back. But that's a place where you can live forever in a loving relationship with Krishna in the most splendorous land of Vrindavan. And therefore, that's why Krishna comes. That's why he comes in specifically in a human-like form to show mercy to his devotees. So that by hearing about life with Krishna, we become attracted to dedicate ourselves to him. As many of the devotees here have done. And with your doing or can do. And we should also think, it's not that Krishna is only there in the spiritual world. We should also know that Krishna is everywhere. And if we surrender to him, we can get the same benefit, even here in the material world, that the pure devotees get in the spiritual world. If you read the 10th canto of Krishna, both of your love testaments of Krishna, you will find that almost every day some demon was coming to your God to cause trouble, to cause harm. And the residents of Vrindavan, did they rush out with their plows and sticks to attack the demons? No. What did they do? They took shelter of Krishna. And what did Krishna do? He protected them. And in most cases, he killed the demons. Although in the case of Kaliya, he didn't kill him, but he banished him. So, when we hear these stories, we should think, wow, you know, Krishna is so kind to his devotees. You know, even in the midst of the worst calamity, if you just take shelter of Krishna, just surrender to Krishna, Krishna will protect you. I may have that facility if I surrender to Krishna. Why am I missing out? You know, puttering around with my little poems of Sanskrit, Asian, and fallible soldiers.
I'm not wasting my time.
Surrender to Krishna. Get the real thing, the real benefit. So, Krishna appears for that reason. And we can make the purpose of his appearance successful by hearing about his pastimes. And dedicating ourselves to him. And Srila Prabhupada, these books were never available before in the English language. Many of the books were never available before in the English language. And the ones that were like the Bhagavad Gita were not presented properly through Parampara. So Srila Prabhupada stayed up at night. He only slept about 2 hours, say from 10 to midnight. Then he woke up and he translated these books for us to read. So we should show our appreciation and gratitude to Srila Prabhupada by reading these books. And when we read these books, we're hearing about Krishna. And we're becoming inspired to dedicate ourselves to Krishna. And that makes Srila Prabhupada's ever successful, and that makes Krishna's service successful. And ultimately, there's no difference between Krishna's service and Prabhupada's service. Krishna wants us to surrender to him for our benefit, and Srila Prabhupada wants us to surrender to Krishna also for our benefit. And if we do, we really will benefit. When I first came, when I first met Srila Prabhupada, started to come to the Boston Temple, I was very fascinated by questions and answers after Prabhupada's lecture. And I was struck by the fact that often different people would ask more or less the same question, but Srila Prabhupada would give a different answer according to the mentality of the questioner. So, one of the questions was, are you truly happy? He said, are you truly happy? And Srila Prabhupada replied that when I was in India, I had 5 children. And there were always so many problems. And after surrendering to Krishna and coming to America, I have 500 children. And they love me, and I love them, and there are no problems. So the man appreciated the answer, but then he said, but that's material. And Srila Prabhupada replied, I have many other platforms of happiness, but I'm speaking to a platform that you can understand. So, but that's the idea. You know, that one who surrenders to Krishna is not the loser, but is the gainer by manifold. And he gave that example of 500 and 500 children. occasion. Krishna is always merciful, but he is especially merciful on these special days. And we should pray to him to attract us to his loving service. Here we are especially blessed by the presence of Madan Mohan. You know what is the meaning of Madan Mohan? Madan means Cupid, and Mohan means one who attracts. Cupid is a real person. Cupid is the demigod in charge of lust, that material attraction. And the whole world is pretty much under the spell of that attraction. I don't expect that it applies to this group here, but in the early days in Boston, of course, those were, you know, regular American young men and women. Well, we sort of took a survey. What is your main motivation in coming to the Sunday program? And the greatest number said that they were looking for someone compatible of the opposite sex. So that's a big issue. In Vedic culture, the parents and the extended family, they're very responsible, and they try to do that, but it's becoming more and more of a problem. So that mother, in fact, this question came up in Los Angeles. But it's sort of like me. Anyway, we'll discuss that too much. But let's take it for granted. I don't think there's much argument that there is that attraction. And that attraction is not wrong in of itself, but that attraction can bind us to the material world. That's the problem. And so we have to become attracted, we have to become more attracted to Krishna than we are to material things. Because if we're more attracted to material things, then we have to take birth again and suffer all the miseries. And, you know, however much you love your spouse, death is eventually going to come and separate you. So anyway, with Krishna, there is no separation, it's eternal. And so we have to transfer our attachment to Krishna. Not that we don't have natural feelings for family and friends, but the central point of attraction is Krishna. So, Madan, you know, everyone in the material world is under the spell of Madan, of Cupid. But Cupid is under the spell of Krishna. And there's actually a story to illustrate this fact. There's a place in Ramangreti in Vrindavan, near the Jumuna, where the Jumuna used to flow, where Madan came to test Krishna. He had his bow and arrow, and anyone who is struck by that arrow becomes attracted. Srila Prabhupada said, if someone is struck by the arrow of Cupid, the person becomes attracted to the other person, even if the other person is ugly. Because I'm powerful of arrows. So, came with his bow and arrow when Krishna was having the Rasa dance. And he was trying to aim his arrow at Krishna. He wanted to, like, show that he could defeat Krishna. Because Madan can defeat anyone. You know, even now, but there have been even the President of the United States, for the Prince of England, you know, they get struck by Madan's arrows, and even at the cost of disgracing the office or disgracing the royal family, they chase after that object. So Madan, he like rules supreme in the material world without having to get this Krishna. And as he was trying to aim his arrow at Krishna, it's like, because of that circle dance, where there was Krishna, then there was the gopi. And then when he would try to aim again, where the gopi was, then there was, would come Krishna. And he became so bewildered by that beauty that he dropped his bow and arrow and fainted. The stands of Ramadeva. So that is Madan Mohan. He attracts even Cupid, who can cast a spell on anyone. He fell under the spell of Krishna. So that's the specific form we have given. Let's have this form of Madan Mohan. So we can pray to him to attract us to him and free us from that mundane attraction that will ultimately end in death and create another body that will be subject to further miseries and another death. So we can pray to him and pray to him to attract us to him more than anything else. And then our relationships with our family members, they won't be temporary. If the whole family becomes Krishna conscious, then all together you go back home, back to Godhead, Krishna together. So it's not that you didn't adjust your family relationships in a very beautiful way. It doesn't mean that you lose them. But to the contrary, if you try to enjoy those relationships without Krishna, you will lose them. So, we are indebted to Madan Mohan for appearing here. And we are indebted to Vaisheshika Prabhu and Satyadeva Prabhu and the Purnan Prabhu and all the devotees and the wives who have worked so hard to create this facility where we can all come together and chant and hear the glories of the Lord and dedicate ourselves to Him and rededicate ourselves to Him so that He's pleased and naturally when He's pleased we are also automatically. So I come here all the way, well, not that far, but still, I come here all the way from Santa Barbara to be attracted to Madan Mohan and have the association of